Well, when the angels appeared that first Christmas morning, they declared to the shepherds a message of great joy and peace and goodwill toward men. You know, one of the great ironies of Christmas is that the Christmas season is now kicked off the day after Thanksgiving with a day that we call Black Friday. Is somewhat of a human dogfight that epitomizes all of the strife, the stress, the turmoil, the conflict of this world. Black Friday, that's the day that people trample other people trying to get stuff when just the day before they were so thankful for all the stuff that they already had. So I'm proposing that we change the name from Black Friday to the Hunger Games, right? Some of you have seen the movie. Yeah, the Hunger Games, you know, that kill each other to get a $20 crock pot. And how, man, the TV stations need to pick up on this, because I'm telling you, if they were broadcasting all that goes on Black Friday, it would far surpass all of the sporting events, right? I mean, you talk about blood sport, right? Okay. Shopping. How fun is that? But besides all the shopping, there's fun activities like untangling Christmas lights. How many people had that job? Yeah, and you untangle them, you spend an hour untangling them, you get them all untangled, and then you think to plug them in and they don't work. So then you spend the next 45 minutes or an hour trying to fix them. And I got to tell you, when my fix-it skills failed, then I got to go shopping again and buy some more. Fun Christmas time. And then there's all that drama of family get-togethers, sometimes with people you don't even like. And all those special things to go to. You got one next Sunday night. Now, I want to say, that one is different, because so many things just become another thing to busy up your schedule, but that one will warm your heart, and you want to be a blessing to our kids as well, so be here next Sunday night. But there's so much stuff to do. Carmen and I have had years before where we looked at our November and December calendar, and we had two evenings at home in November and December. So I know how it can be, and it just gets to where we're so busy. And you know what? It's a great time of the year, and yet a lot of us, we're just glad when it's finally over. Well, until we start thinking about paying for it. There's all that. All the stuff to buy, all the expectations, all of the, here's where it really gets hard for the guys, wrapping gifts. Thank God for Christmas bags, you know, for gift sacks, right? Yeah. The truth is that Christmas really is a difficult time for a lot of people. This holiday season, the most wonderful time of the year, it's also the most stressful time of the year. And for many people, it is the most depressing time of the year. And we just need to realize that during this season, I tell you, God would use us to help others along their way. That God would help us to get through this time of the year with peace and joy and victory. And I want to talk to you this morning about burdens. They come in all shapes and sizes, and guess what? We all have them, but we need to know how to handle burdens. There's a lot of confusion about burdens because people sometimes don't understand that there's different kinds of burdens, and each kind has to be handled differently. There's some burdens that are supposed to be shared. There's some burdens that have to be shouldered, and there's some burdens that need to be shed. So when we identify what kind of burden we're dealing with, then we can find out, we can understand how to handle it. You can't handle all your burdens the same way. You'll find yourself buried under a burden. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading from the King James Version. Yeah, all that ye and thou and thou stuff, but there's a reason I want to read it to you here. in this passage, these first few verses, you see one of the most apparent, what looks like to be, contradictions in the Bible. I want to tell you, God never contradicts himself. And when we think we found a contradiction, we just need a little more understanding. And that certainly is true when it comes to burdens. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. For let every man prove his own work, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." And there it is in verse 2, we see that we're to bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5, he says very plainly, every man shall bear his own burden. So which is it? We need to understand he's talking about two very different kinds of burdens. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan talked about love and how that in the Greek language, there are five words that can be translated as love. We use that one word for all five of those things, even though they're all very different from one another. And so it is here in the Greek text in which this was written, it's two totally different words that are translated as burden. The first one, bear one another's burdens, it is talking about a burden, something that is so heavy that it would weigh you down and cause you to stumble or even fall under the weight of it. The second one, it's talking, when he says bear your own burdens, he's talking about responsibility, that each one of us has to carry our own weight in that regard, bear our own responsibilities. Two different kinds of burdens. And we need to understand they have to be dealt with differently. But in the first one, it's obvious that he's talking about, he says in the King James, a fault. I want to read it in the New King James. He says, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So let's talk about this first kind of burden. It is the burden that is to be shared. And he said, someone, in the first verse, someone who is overtaken in a fault, a trespass, or the NIV says a sin. So he's giving us a context here that when somebody else is really struggling in some area of their life, somebody else has gotten out of church, they're going the wrong way, they're no longer really living for God. Somebody else, the enemy, has attacked them and they are losing the battle. You see, it's talking about somebody who is not doing well spiritually. And he says, those who are spiritual, we got any spiritual people here this morning? Four of you. The rest of you are carnal, right? Now, come on now. Most people consider themselves to be spiritual. I mean, there's a lot of people in our culture today that think they're spiritual even though they don't go to church at all or don't serve God at all. They're just doing their own thing and they call themselves spiritual. But those people who are truly spiritual people, we have a responsibility to share that burden with those that are struggling. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people that have been overtaken in some area of their life. They are not winning the battle. Some of them have fallen under the weight of that burden. And we have to help them get up and get going again. Those who are spiritual, you restore them. That means to get them back to original condition. Get them back up where they are serving God again and living for God again. Working for the Lord. Amen. That does not mean that we're supposed to go out and fault find.
That's right.
He says, help those that are overtaken in a fault. Well, I'm going to go out and find fault with people. You know what? You can find something wrong with everybody.
That's right.
But that's not what he's talking about here. That's an old Pharisee spirit, always judging other people. No, he's talking about helping people. He's talking about restoring people. He's talking about picking people up. He's certainly not talking about us judging people, pointing the finger at people. No, Jesus said we're not supposed to judge. But instead, here it tells us plainly that we're supposed to restore those people. You know, when somebody's struggling spiritually, headed for trouble, it's those who are spiritual, we have a job to do. And I want to tell you, that doesn't include gossip. It doesn't include talking about people. One of the problems in the body of Christ today is that oftentimes people don't have a close enough relationship with others that someone even knows when they're really struggling, when they're missing it in some area of their life and the enemy is getting an advantage of them. Nobody really even realizes because they don't have the relationships with others. It's one of the reasons it's so important that we have fellowship and closeness with our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can help one another, bear one another's burdens. Now, you see, anytime you start talking about a fault, a trespass, a sin, you know, people start thinking real negatively. But here's the thing we need to understand. It's just like Jonathan said when we were taking communion. We've all sinned.
Right.
We've all been there.
Right.
And here's how it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, that it is a community of grace where we help one another, and it shouldn't be that people are embarrassed or afraid of being judged so they can't get help. No, it should be that because we've all been washed in the blood of Jesus, we've all dealt with our own struggles and battles, that we help one another without any judgment.
Right.
And when we do that, here's one of the ways you know you did it right. They thank God for you. This is not a thing where we go straighten people out. No, this is a thing where we help people.
Amen.
And they thank God for you.
Glory.
Who would God restore through you? This is one of the ways that we fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's that we love one another. And how do we do that? We bear one another's burdens. You know, Jesus talks about the shepherd finding that lost sheep and bringing it home. And if you know somebody that's out of church, maybe God would use you to help them get back in church and serving the Lord, really walking with God again. But this is how it's supposed to be. This is a burden that has to be shared, because sometimes people get under such a weight, such a load, and they don't know how to get back. They don't know how to get free. They don't know how to get victory in their life. They need a brother or sister to help them. Now, I think that this principle of sharing a load that's too heavy is not just for when people are overtaken in a fault or a sin, but I think it also applies anytime someone is under a tremendous load, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Sometimes we just need somebody else to lighten that load. You know, one day I was at a store and I saw a man trying to load a huge box into his vehicle, and it was just too big. It was too awkward for one guy to load. And so I ran over. It took me about 3 seconds to get the other end, and we loaded it. You know what? It's too hard for one, but two could do it easy. And you know, a lot of times life is like that. We need our brothers and sisters to share the load.
Amen.
It always bothers me when I see or hear these stories of someone being attacked and there were bystanders that did nothing. And you know what? When it comes to spiritual things, we as believers need to always be aware. If somebody else is under attack, then we who are spiritual, we don't stand by.
That's right.
But we do what we can to help them to lift that load.
Amen.
These burdens are supposed to be shared. Now, sorrow, emotional loss, is something that we all go through at times. Sometimes someone might go through a divorce, or it might be the loss of a loved one. A lot of us experienced that in the last year or two. But here's the thing. We have a God who comforts us.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves are comforted by God." And here's what that tells me, that yes, our Father will comfort us, but then He can take the trouble, the heartache that we've been through, and He can turn it for good. He can bring good out of it. Some people say, oh no, that's just bad. You can't make good out of it. Their God's too small. Our God can. And some of the things that we have been through, the heartaches, the trials that we have been through and God brought us through, God will use us to help somebody else that's going through the same thing. I read a story about one pastor who tried to console and comfort, minister to a woman in his congregation whose baby had died. And he spent hours and hours and hours counseling with her, and he just felt like it was to no avail. He was not able to help the woman. But then he remembered another woman in the church who years before had been through the exact same thing. And he called that woman and he had her sit down with her. And he said that within 5 minutes, she was able to accomplish what he couldn't do in weeks and weeks. You see, sometimes when you've been through something, God is going to use your testimony and the battle that you fought to help somebody else. And that's, we share that burden with our brothers and sisters when we see them going through something. And that's the kind of church body that this is. That's body ministry, that we help those who are going through a rough time. That's the burden that has to be shared. We read in verse 3, he said, of Galatians 6, "If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We need to understand that it's always God's grace. If not for the grace of God, we would be that person that's struggling. And it's the grace of God that brought us from where we were when we were struggling. But the scripture tells us plainly that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, when we allow pride in our life, we're going to try to help somebody else. In the first place, they're not going to be able to receive from a prideful person. No, we have to be gentle and lowly when we minister to that person. We got to be meek. And in the second place, when we get puffed up in that kind of pride, we look down on somebody that's struggling, we are setting ourselves up for a fall. Let's go on to verse 4. "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself and not in another." Verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load." This burden is responsibility. In verse 4, the scripture tells us we should examine ourselves. We should examine our own life to see, to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. That we are fulfilling our responsibilities. Those burdens have to be shouldered. Bear your own burden, your own responsibility. The theme of the day is to pass the buck. The theme of the day is to blame somebody else. Nobody wants to take responsibility. And I'm telling you, as a child of God, the scripture holds us accountable again and again and again. The Bible talks about giving an account. The Bible talks about that one day we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account. We are accountable for what we do or don't do in this life. We have a responsibility to live a certain way and to do certain things. And we can't pass that off. We can't just blame other people. You see, it's so easy, instead of fulfilling our responsibilities, To blame our family, our parents, that one's really big. To blame the government. To blame society as a whole. To blame Hollywood. Even to blame the church. That one's really popular among Christian people. Why aren't you involved in ministry? Why don't you do anything? Why aren't you serving the Lord, doing anything for God? Well, you know, these people did this to me. It's all almost always the blame game. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling anybody's hurt in the past, but I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ can get you past your past, and you need to take the responsibility for your life and what God wants you to do. And you won't stand before Him and give Him any excuses to blame anybody. And I'm just saying, this is a burden that we have to shoulder. We bear our own burden. We take responsibility for what we do, what we don't do. You can't just shrug it off. You know, that's how you develop a victim's mentality, is what everybody did to me. But instead, we have to shoulder those responsibilities. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a responsibility to work and to provide for our family. In fact, it goes so far as to say that a man that does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Wow, that's really strong, isn't it? But you know, the Bible tells us this so that we understand we have a responsibility. Now, all you working people, you ought to be saying amen right now. Amen. I just want to say, yes, there's times when somebody goes through a difficult time and they get laid off, or they lost their job somehow, something happened. But we are a working people, because this is our responsibility. It's amazing to me. I've actually had Christians try to explain to me why they were not supposed to work. And they were looking to either the government or the church to provide for them. No, we have a responsibility to work. We have a responsibility to give God His tithe. It belongs to Him, and we have a responsibility to bring it to Him. We have a responsibility to pay our bills. Should a preacher even have to say that? We're living in a time when even billionaires will go bankrupt, or bankrupt this side of their business, and they still remain a billionaire. They just decide not to pay their bills. Amazing to me. We have a responsibility to pay taxes. Oh, y'all are way too quiet. We don't like that. You know what? Whether we like it or not, here's the thing. The Bible makes it clear that we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. And here's the thing, our Lord and Savior paid taxes. Amen. Right. We had a responsibility to pay taxes. Right. Okay, that's enough talking about money. We have a responsibility, when we have children, to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We had a responsibility to discipline them as the Bible teaches. We have a responsibility to discipline them as the Bible teaches. Amen. Well, I read this book and I just thought it was so good. Listen, if it's not just expounding the scripture to you, throw it away. You want to know why so many people are having such a hard time with their kids today? Because they're not basing their parenting on the Word of God. These truths don't change. These truths don't ever not work. Excuse the double negative, but I'm just telling you, they work. Amen. You got a responsibility. You know what? Here's the out. Again, we can blame the government. Oh, the government, they're ruining our kids. It's Hollywood. They're messing our kids up. It's the internet. They're just destroying our kids. We can blame the teachers. We can even blame the church. Let me tell you what the cure for all of the influence of this world is. You don't have to take them out of the world. Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And what you do is you take the word of God and you immunize them from the garbage of the world. It is not the church's job to teach the scriptures to your children. The church can help. And we got a great children's ministry. But I'm putting it on you this morning, parents. I love you. And I'm telling you the truth this morning that if you're a parent, it is your responsibility to teach the scripture to your children. Some dad, you're going to teach your son to play ball. That's great. Mom, you're going to teach your daughter how to... I started to say cook, but some of you are going to get mad at me for stereotyping. Some of you moms, you're going to teach your daughter how to play ball. Good save, Pastor. Good save. And that's great, but there is nothing more important than teaching your kids the scripture. You know, I heard about one pastor's son. He said that his dad took him to school every day, and he said every day when we got in the car, we had to quote our memory verse all the way to school. I want to tell you, some of your parents, you need to get after it, teaching your kids the scripture. Here it is. It's Deuteronomy. We're going to go to Deuteronomy. I have it somewhere. You'll stay with me. Chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Well, if I think about it once in a while, maybe sort of, kind of. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them down at the church. No, when you sit in your house. Wow. When you walk by the way, while you're driving down the road, you're talking to your kids about the scripture. You're teaching your kids. Now, some of you, it's going to be really good for you because it's going to force you to start learning the scripture. But we need this, and the children need this. We can't just pass the buck on the society and everybody else for how our kids are doing. We got to take responsibility ourselves to train them up. To live a Christian life before them, to show them what it means. I'll tell you, a lot of people have taught their kids that it isn't important to go to church. Either by taking them and dropping them off, or by just going there once a month, or twice a month maybe, or once in a while. Teach your kids that it's important to worship God. Yes. It's the most important thing in their week is to go to worship God and then to live for God. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22 and 6. And here's what I have to say about that. You see, we have the job to train them up. And the scripture gives us this promise. Now, when your child is older and they depart from it, that's not the time for you to throw in the towel. That's the time for you to stand on the word of God and say, Lord, I train them up. And now I'm trusting you, Lord, that you're going to keep them serving you, that you're going to bring them back, that they'll live for you. We got a responsibility. We'll still throw this one out there too. Grandparents, you got a responsibility. And I said it not very long ago, but I'm going to say it again. I despise this attitude in our culture that grandparents are supposed to ruin their grandkids. If when you keep the grandkids and then you take them home or they come get them and the parents have to spend 3 days retraining their kid, you are doing wrong. They ought to go home with a better attitude than when you got them. Amen. You teach them to respect and honor their parents. Amen. I got to keep moving because my flesh is wanting to peeve a little bit. We got a responsibility how we treat our spouse, right. How we treat our neighbors, how we treat our enemies, how we treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We got a responsibility. We have a responsibility to God to use what He's given us. He's going to hold us accountable for what He's entrusted to us. Jesus says, to whom much is given, much is required. Whatever abilities, talents He's given to you, whatever strengths, we should be using those for God. Every one of us has some part in the work of the church, in the kingdom, and every one of us is going to be accountable for what we've done. He's not going to say, well done and good and faithful servant to everybody. Right. He's going to say that to those who have done what they were supposed to do. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, of course, is always the perfect example. In John 17 and 4, he said, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. We got to finish the work. You need to know I've done what God wanted me to do. There will come a day when this race is finally done. Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We want to know when we look back. We don't have a lot of regrets, but instead we know that we did what God wanted us to do in our life. We got a responsibility to do that. You know, all the way back, we read this verse. He said that then you can rejoice in yourself. I want you to understand what he's talking about. That almost sounds like a prideful thing. But he's talking about that when you do what you're supposed to do, then you can be glad because you know that you've pleased God. And your joy doesn't come from somebody else. It's not dependent upon what others do. There's a joy, there's a victory in knowing that, you know what, I did what God asked of me. I did what I was supposed to do. That's bearing that burden, that load that you're supposed to shoulder yourself. One more responsibility I want to mention this morning. There are many others in the scripture, of course, but we have a responsibility to pray for one another. 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. There's two things we should see there. First of all, that we have a responsibility to pray for others.
Right.
And number two, it's a sin when we don't fulfill our responsibilities.
Yeah, right.
To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin. That's what the Bible says. The last burden we're going to talk about, we're going to go to a different passage, Matthew chapter 11. This is the burden that has to be shed. Matthew 11, beginning from verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The NIV says, all you who are weary and burdened. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes life just feels like too much. Sometimes we can just get to the place where we feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. And that is a burden that is not meant to be shouldered. It's not even meant to be shared. It's meant to be shed. You got to get that burden off your shoulders. You got to give it to the Lord. It is not when you have been irresponsible. It's something that is beyond your strength or control. You see, when you've worked and you paid your bills and you tithed and you saved when you could, and yet you find yourself in a financial crisis because maybe you got laid off from your job or you had some big medical bills that come in. That's the number one reason for bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills. And, you know, when those kinds of things happen in your life, it's beyond your control. It wasn't something that you did or didn't do, but it's just life happened. I want you to know that we have a God who can lift that burden, that you're not just supposed to bear the weight of that, the stress of that, but you can cast that over on the Lord. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He's taking care of you.
Right.
You see, if there are things that you know to do, things that you can fix, then quit being lazy and be responsible and go take care of it.
Amen.
It's amazing. Some people are anxious and worried over something they can take care of. But if you are anxious, worried, stressed, fearful about something that's too big, something that's beyond your control, I want you to know that He doesn't want you to bear that load.
Amen.
Oh, you turn it over to Him. You were not intended to bear that. We shed that burden of anxiety, worry, things that we don't have the power to change. How do we do that? We take it to the Lord in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Sometimes we got to pray through until we let go of the burden. I say pray through because, you know what, you can just do one of those little bitty short prayers and get up and still just as stressed and anxious as you were before you prayed. I want you to hear me now. We are not heard by our many words. It doesn't take God a long prayer for you to get through. But sometimes it takes us to pray a while before we get to the place where we're willing to really turn that burden over to the Lord. I mean, that's on us, but we need to pray until we give it to Him and we thank Him. He said, pray with thanksgiving. We can thank Him for taking care of it. And then the peace comes. Peace that passes understanding. The situation may not have changed, but you have a peace. You may not even, you know, other people might look on and say, well, that's weird. You ought to be upset. No, I've prayed. I thank God for taking care of it. I got the peace. Peace that guards your heart and your mind. That's the peace that we're supposed to have. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not the world's kind of peace depending upon circumstances. No, this peace is from Jesus. It's dependent upon trusting in Him, resting in Him, that we truly turn it over to Him. That's when peace comes. Things beyond your control. You raised your kid right. You kept them in church. You taught them how to serve the Lord. You disciplined them the way the Scripture says. And sometimes they go the wrong way anyway. You fulfilled your responsibility. But there's things beyond your control. And you know, whether it's talking about a kid, a spouse, a neighbor, somebody else, one of the things that we have no control over is somebody else's will. And you know what? That's when you just got to turn that over to God in prayer. You fulfill your responsibility, but you don't bear a burden that you can't fix. You got to turn that over to God and trust that to Him. He's big enough to handle it. Burdens beyond our power, but not His. We got to know what's our responsibility and what's not. Jesus says in verse 29, Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. I want to give you the definition of a yoke. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow or to a plow or cart that they are to pull. Now, I want you to hear me now. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that connects two animals. You know, they used to call two oxen a yoke of oxen. You need to understand that when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, you're not doing this alone. You are taking on the yoke of the Lord Jesus. He is taking that on with you. And I want to tell you, when Jesus is with you in the yoke, He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on. I mean, whatever you're going through, the weight, the stress, the problems that you can't fix, you're in a yoke together with Jesus. He says, come to me. See, he doesn't want you to do this by yourself. He wants you to know that he's right there with you every step of the way. You're going to be all right. I mean, when you know you're yoked up with Jesus, you can know I'm going to be all right. Amen. You know, this same analogy is used when it's talking about being in a relationship with an unbeliever. It says, don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. You don't hook up in a close relationship with an unbeliever. You are asking for trouble in your life. It will steer you the wrong way, no matter how prideful and spiritual you think you are. Biblical truth. But in the same way, when we are yoked up with Jesus, what strength, what peace is ours because we're with him? Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says you're going to find rest for your soul. You see, you work hard. You do what you're supposed to do. You fulfill your responsibilities. You bear the burden of those who have fallen and those who are weak. But those things that are so heavy and that stress you and worry you, you're not supposed to bear that. He says you'll find rest for your souls. Is your burden light this morning? If it's not, maybe there's something you need to turn over to the Lord. You need to release it to him and thank him for taking care of it. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.